Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, welcome inside. Final hour tonight of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Red carpet night, Smith.
Live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Well, Megan, back-to-back national championships for UConn. They take care of Purdue 75-60, a game that was somewhat close in most of the first half. Look, UConn just did UConn things, right? There was no secret sauce. There was no, what did they do? Look, we knew Zach Edey was going to have a big game. He did. Mm-hmm. But eventually he got tired. UConn overall, look, we talked about this last week. In the women's and men's championship games, we knew we were going to have the best player in the game against the best team. I will always take the best team. And we saw that come out. South Carolina beats Iowa, and UConn winds up beating Purdue, and the games weren't particularly close near the end. The overall excellence always wins out in a game like this. And this is not, look, it's not anything UConn did that was so much better that, oh my God, they did that. They're just a better team. They were getting their points in the paint. They started hitting shots in the second half. You wanted to talk about UConn's excellence here for a second. You know what really was the cherry on top of the cherry on top of the Sunday for me was watching at the end, right, when Purdue was pressing. Right, okay, they're down 12, they got to press. Right now, not every team's press is created equally because there's certain teams that press really well, sure. Some teams can't. It's an act of desperation. Every now and then we do get desperate. But here's Purdue pressing, and did UConn have any difficulty with their press at all? Were they close to a turnover on anything? No, and that just shows you, again, the overall level of excellence, how good they are. There wasn't even a couple of plays where, they're going to press now. There's a little bit of confusion. No, it was very easily, we're going to break the press, and we're going to get the ball across half court, and we're going to be able to take time off the clock, or we're going to get an easy basket and force you to come back down and hit something. I mean, even that was something that UConn did. Oh, now you're going to press? Okay, we know what we're doing. We even have this part of it taken care of. Nothing was lacking for UConn.
But once you came out of the break, it never felt threatened, right? Even there's a couple of dunks from Edey, quick, easy transition kind of things. It never felt like they were in jeopardy. And once again, UConn, a double-digit win, 75-60 is your final. We talk about the streak. We also talk about the streak that they have really looked after their backers. In this day and age of legalized sports betting, as you laid the heavy favorites, they paid you out time and time again. And they did it here in convincing fashion, right? We talked about the lack of three-point shooting on both sides in the first half. Well, they hit five in the second half, and they extended. And certainly, as you mentioned with the press break, just another Thursday morning practice session before getting to class.
It's so easy. So easy. UConn are your champion. 75-60 is your final. We talk about having traditions here on the show. Casey Jacobson joining us to break down the national championship game every year. We've kind of started a tradition with UConn star Alex Caravan, who joined us last year after UConn won. He joins us now on the hotline now to talk about the back-to-back championships. Alex, we're making this a thing. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So you're going to talk to us every year now, right? You're going to stay for 4 years, win four, and talk to us every year.
If I could pull a Brianna Stewart, then that's the goal. Why not?
Nicely done.
Hey, halftime, this game was close. You guys looked like you started to get things going. What was the difference for you guys in the second half here?
I think just being tougher on the defensive end. We felt like we had to be tougher rebounding the ball and just be tougher, you know, in every aspect, and I thought we did a great job of that, and really just opened up the game, and offensively we continued to click.
Alex, as you got into the game, where was the point where you knew you guys were just going to close this thing out?
I think I think the under 2 minute mark, they made a little bit of a run during the last media timeout, but once the under two, you know, happened and they didn't foul Cam, and then they didn't foul me when I had the ball. I think that's when I knew. I was like, all right, it's crazy. It's us.
All right, so you got to explain, so because we've been talking about this a lot. Late in the game, I don't know if Coach really knows he did. When he came onto the court and pushed Cam while the game was going on to dribble to the middle of the floor, I've never seen that before, Alex. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened there. I don't know how to answer that. I don't know what happened.
All right, as the resident Big Ten apologist, I'm a Northwestern grad. You dispatched of us and then Illinois and Purdue. How's it feel to own the Big Ten?
I wouldn't say all that. I think it's a testimony how tough the Big East is. I think the Big East really prepped us to play the Big Ten teams and, you know, to beat the three best Big Ten teams during this March Madness run. I think it speaks a lot about how competitive the Big East was.
Alex, lastly, 37 points for Zach Edey, but it looked like you slowed him a little bit. Could you tell he was getting tired? What was it as the game went on with him?
I think we tried to make it as tough as him, but it was really just, you know, making sure the supporting cast didn't go off. And if he were to beat us 1-on-5, and you know, then they deserve the national championship. But, you know, making sure that we limited, you know, everyone else surrounding him. And I thought Donovan and Sampson did a great job. And then, you know, foul trouble happened, and then I had a guard him, so he would score on me, obviously.
5.6 rebounds, 4-6 for Alex Caravan. We're going to make a thing of this the next 2 years. You and Brianna Stewart, congratulations, my friend. Good luck.
Thank you.
Congrats, Alex. Be great.
All right, there goes Alex Caravan. It's going to be a thing now.
It's kind of a big
Alex
deal.
Alex Caravan. All right. Hey, tell Kirk Kretschmar, who was getting guests for us there, Alex Caravan next year. Book him for after the national title game next year. We gotta have him
done
again.
Done and done.
Gotta have him again. Look, that's the thing about Zach Edey. And this game was he going to be able to? He talked about if he beats us 1-on-5, he beats us 1-on-5. And in the beginning, I won't say nervous, but I'm saying, boy, the Kim Mulkey style of guarding Zach Edey is not working because he's getting the ball down low 1-on-1, and whether it was Klingon or whoever had to come back again, Edey was rocking, right? He had 16 points at halftime, 7 out of 11 from the floor. He was getting the ball deep. He wasn't getting the ball top of the key.
Sure.
And he was getting the ball deep and keeping them there. And I said, boy, this really isn't working. But then as we get closer to halftime, you could see Edey didn't get up and down the floor as well as he had because he was getting tired, as Alex Caravan said, making him work. And there were a lot of possessions where UConn was able to get inside pretty easy and get an easy bucket. We saw at halftime, they actually had more points in the paint than Purdue did when everything Purdue did was in there. So you could see that, okay, well, obviously this is how Danny Hurley sees this game. We're going to let Zach Edey do his thing. Then we're slowly going to make him work. And then what's going to happen is he's going to get tired. We watch him airball a free throw. He turned the ball over in the second half. Even though he had 37, some of those points came in garbage time. He was not the same guy. Nobody else on the supporting cast played well. And it's almost like this game probably went exactly to the script that Danny Hurley said. If I'm Danny Hurley, I'm telling the guys in the locker room, I told you how this was going to go. First half was going to be tightish. We were going to start to pull away a little bit before halftime. Then we were really going to throw the hammer down. Edey's going to get tired. These guys can't hang with us the rest of the way, and we're going to win this game by 15 or 20. I guarantee you this is how the game is going to go. Stick with it. And they did.
Well, because as Alex Caravan with us just a couple minutes ago here from the defending, now two-time champion Huskies, talking about easy baskets versus easy baskets, right? Because if we point out on the shot chart and where Edey's points were coming from, he still had to work, right? They used their physicality. You talk about the fouls mounting up and the fact that he had to check Edey a bit, that you made him work for all that, which meant you were starting to get opportunities and odd man, you know, breakouts on the other side because he wasn't able to get back and get down into position in the low post. And look, they're 1 of 7 from 3-point range. They averaged 8.5 makes from 3-point range through the first 5 rounds.
It's almost, so, right? I don't want to say like they got away from their game, but their game the entire first half was get the ball to Zach and we're fine. And it's hard to not get lulled into that when it's working, right? Like, hey, okay, we're the underdogs here, and UConn's the best team, but hey, it's close. It's 20 to 20. It's 25-25. Okay, now it's 29-25. It's 30. All right, they get up by 6, but it's all working. Keep dumping the ball back down to Zach Edey, and we're going to wind up being great tonight. And eventually, when you needed more, what did we talk about when this is going on? Eventually, they're going to start having to take some threes in the second half. And when you haven't taken them all game, how difficult is it to get those? Suddenly, at the end, not only could they not take, they couldn't get them.
Well, they only took 7 for the game.
You're down by three at halftime. And you had nothing from the outside when you were down 10. I'm sorry, this is where you got to start taking some chances. Well, and say, all right, I know Zach is our guy, but we got to hit some threes here. We don't have the time to sit back and play, all right, let's try to reel them in slowly. You needed to take some more threes there for Purdue.
But like the onus then became every possession had to become a stop, right? Because it was Edey or nothing and from short range. Your guards go 2 of 8 combined for a total of 5 points. You score 2 points off your bench for the entire game. Bench scoring, again, not the big disparity like we saw with the South Carolina and Iowa game, right? Where it was, 37-0. But here, 13-2, margin of victory is 15, right? You're talking about the subtleties, the fact that UConn moving the ball around, getting other players involved, and I love the dump down, you know, and Edey getting his points. But again, you needed somebody else to step up. You needed some firepower from the outside to try to get some of those transition buckets and not to go into the half-court set each and every time. Because, again, easy buckets weren't so easy, right, especially as the clock starts to wind down in the second half.
I mean, if I could say one thing, because, as I've said, this was UConn doing UConn things, right? Nothing crazy. They just played the game that we've watched them play for the last
efficiency,
2 years.
Absolutely.
That's the one thing I can say, all right, could things have been a little bit different? And that's Matt Painter and Purdue. Hey, we got to start taking some chances here. Like, even when the game was to the point where UConn is up 10, they're up 12, it's, okay, I don't know if we don't want to show panic, but we got to start setting up some outs. We got to set some screens, get some guys open for threes, because you need the math, right? You need the math to work in your favor. If they're going to come down to get a 2, you got to come down to get a 3, get a stop, get a 3, and suddenly, you know, a 12-point game is a 6-point game. You weren't going to reel them in. You know, this wasn't going, okay, we're going to stop. You weren't stopping them. What you need to do is get those threes, get in transition, maybe you needed to press a little bit earlier. That's the one thing, is that I felt like Purdue never got to that desperation point where the game just slowly got away from before, and then they finally realized that, oh, it's too far away, right? Yeah. Like that's kind of what it, okay,
something
oh, now,
to that.
Now
sure.
It got too far away, and they needed a bit of more of a, hey, we got to start taking some shots from the outside now. We got to start doing some things. I know that we want to get the ball to Zach, and hey, it's a nice comfort thing when you can get the ball down low, but maybe you want to getting rebounds. We take shots. We get the long rebounds. I just never felt that they got in that, hey, we're desperate now. We've got to try to win this national title. I just never felt that way.
I give them credit defensively, you know, that there was never from Edey the, hey, I can get it right back out to a shooter for a quick 3, right? He got in deep. And then you'd look and nobody had flashed open to where you'd make the pass back out. So what do? You go up with the shot. Hence his 25 shot attempts on the night.
Yeah, because you could just borrow a page from Iowa saying, we're going to set 4 screens on the play to get Caitlin Clark open.
We're going to set four screens to get somebody open.
That's why I didn't feel like you have to have that sense of that sense of urgency at some point going, okay, now everything is not where we're now we're in a danger of losing this game. And they never got to that. Exit Outbound of Fresca, exit Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Thanks to Alex Caravan for stopping by with us here. Second year in a row talking UConn's championship. So coming up next, we'll ask a big question about watching this game. Keep it right here, Jason and Mike. Fox. You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack's got tires that'll elevate your drive. touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. You're not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. They'll show you the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of General tires. They're shipped fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or you can choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It does not get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their general test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? It's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called Overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way. So maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising. Perfect. And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a great song. Come on, man.
I'm a little frightened by the shimmy you just song. Did, and I never want to see it again.
I know, I had to make up for me playing Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Oh, this is for you, UConn, to win it
this
all.
This is how you made up for it?
Oh, yeah.
This makes up nothing.
Torturing my soul.
Come on, this
makes
is the one,
up for that with him.
The one kid's playing the drums and he's singing at the same time?
Although Mary's hair right now kind of matches there.
Hansen's drum set wasn't even plugged in.
Bop, 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 doo, wop, did it down, down, doo, wop, 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 woo.
Look what you did.
Yeah.
Look what you did.
Bop, bop, doo, wop, did it down, down,
I'm now back to number one.
Wop, wop, woo. Fox Sports Radio.
Where are you on my rankings?
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. That'd be a Taylor Hanson's the singer and the guitarist is what he is. The little kid's the drummer. The older brother's the bassist. This kid was playing the guitar and singing. He's pretty talented.
Not one person cared.
Yeah.
Dude, which guy's Tito?
No, come on. There's no Tito.
Jermaine?
There's no Tito. There's no Jermaine. Stop. UConn or your national champions? They take care of Purdue 75-60. And I want to bring this up before we get to a big question surrounding this game and just how many people watch this game on television. But first, this is what it sounded like, UConn becoming national champions for the second time in a row.
First, UConn repeats as national champions, the third team to repeat in the last 50 years. 75-60 the final. The Huskies back to back national champions.
Westwood One on the call. It's six national titles now for UConn in the last 25 years. Yeah, they've established themselves as the preeminent program, three different coaches winning.
Danny Hurley saying, hey, we've owned college basketball for 30 years.
I mean, 25 they have.
He rounded
up. But I want to know this, because one of the videos that I love seeing at the end is, you know, when he called everybody out of the game and he put in all the walk-ons, put his son in.
Yeah,
his
son got to dribble the ball out.
Right, just like last year. I think UConn is 43-0 in games in which Andrew Hurley plays. But watch the video, because when UConn had the ball at the end, Andrew's holding the ball. And they turn the ball over with 6 seconds left. You know, the Purdue wasn't fouling, and you know, he's got the ball in his arms. And when 6 seconds to go, Andrew Hurley spikes the ball. Watch the video. Danny Hurley is standing 5 feet from him, And he's, I want to know what he's yelling at him, because it doesn't look like Andrew Hurley is spiking the ball like, yeah, man, it looks like, would you stop yelling at me? And he spikes the ball. Watch
Shut
the
up, old man.
I really want to know what he said to him there, because it looks like he's telling him what to do. All right, hold on to the ball. Now spike it. Like, I think he tells him at one point to maybe spike it. It doesn't look like it's one of those, hey, loving father. I don't know. It's just really awkward. But again, that's part of who Danny Hurley is. He is a little awkward. Sometimes I think he blacks out and doesn't understand where he is, which is why he walked on the floor and pushed Cam Spencer while the game was going on, dribble the ball to the middle of the court. Dude, you can't walk on the floor and push a player. We have to turn the ball over on that. So again, it's really awkward and it's really weird. And I can't stop watching it because I look at the look on Andrew's face like, would you please? Just stop yelling at me for 5 seconds, okay? 5 seconds is all I want. I'm in this game for like 18 seconds, all right? That's it. Stop yelling at me.
Why can't I just enjoy this? We'll talk about it.
Upper dad.
Now, the other thing, I mean, you buried the call with such an excellent Herman's Hermit reference.
I missed the Herman's Hermit reference.
I'm Henry the Eighth. I am.
Oh,
I got married to a widow next door.
Right, she'd been married seven times before,
and everyone was a Henry.
Henry, what did I miss? What did he say?
Second verse, same as the first, and then he just sings it again.
I think that's a thing that's just a phrase now. I don't think that's unique to that song. Second verse, same as the first.
That's 50-year-old song.
Blues riff and B, watch me for the changes and try to keep up. Okay,
nicely done.
It was. I'm watching, going, oh, I really want to know what he's yelling. I really want to know what he's yelling at him right now. I really want to know.
You like this moment? You worked hard for this moment. You love this moment?
If you
just got everything you loved?
If you were any better, I'd have Cam Stewart out here. I'd have him out here, and he'd be dribbling out the clock. But no, but it's you here, because you're not as good. I really want to know. But here's the big question, right, with this game right now. Because we had 18.7 million people watch Iowa and South Carolina, mm-hmm. ostensibly because of Caitlin Clark. You had an increase of 12.5 million for Iowa and LSU to 18.5 million for Iowa and South Carolina. Last year, UConn won the national title, beat San Diego State. They averaged around 14.5 million. I'm going to say this comes in around 16, 17 million, and more people will have watched the women's game this year than the men's game. I mean, we already know the women's game is higher rated than any basketball game of any kind since 2019. NBA Finals,
yeah.
College basketball, anything, any game.
Just run it.
Highest rated already. But I got to think that it's going to beat this year. And yes, the star power of Caitlin Clark, because no matter what, Caitlin Clark is the biggest star in all of college basketball. More so than last year, because UConn-San Diego State, kind of a tough matchup. Not as much of a set. You got San Diego State's a smaller school that people are. Is Marshall Faulk playing on that team? But this year, at least, you had UConn going for the repeat. Okay, that's a story. And Purdue with the best player in the country. And we saw the best two teams at the end. That's going to get an increase of a couple million. But is that enough to push it past 18.7 million? I don't see it. I see between 16, 17 million, definitely an increase over last year's game, and it's still going to come in at least 1.5 million, maybe 2 million shy of what we saw with Iowa and South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, how much more is Zach Edey and Purdue a draw?
I guess. Well, because you got two really good teams.
You know what I mean?
End,
like,
right?
With the number one, yeah. and a player that people know. Perhaps that helps bump us.
Purdue Pete?
Mm-hmm. And Gene Katie doing his best impression.
Yeah, no boy, that was oof.
And he
had
the giant P on the back of his neck.
Yeah,
great.
That was,
hey, man, he got after it.
This guy was
poor guy never was a Final Four coach. He's a legend.
But this guy was a head coach for a long time. Hey, coach, how about we paint the side of the back of your head and shave something in it? Yeah, sure.
Funny, though, is like everybody always thought he was this gruff guy, whatever. He was one of the nicest coaches.
Sure.
When we were in a student section back in my time at Northwestern, he always used to come and hang out, ask us about our majors, how classes were going.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, he was great.
Okay.
How many times did you curse him out, Mike?
You know me. 15 to 20 by the end of the half.
Yeah, it's going to come in shy. It's going to come in shy. And again, we're going to think back, what's this tournament going to be remembered by? It's going to be the tournament where the women were bigger and were a bigger deal. Caitlin Clark was a bigger deal. That's how it's going to go.
And you're hoping this is the, you know, beginning of a huge run for women's basketball, that some of the names that got prominence in, for lack of a better term, the wake of what Caitlin Clark caused and Angel Reese caused going back to last year and their battles. And certainly the Iowa-South Carolina game last year, right? It's a two-point game. You get the repeat performance in the final this year, Dawn Staley giving Caitlin Clark her flowers. But you hope that a lot of the names that we saw in the wake, that people stay, right? Juju Watkins, USC, maybe you get some more West Coast viewing. And that, you know, it's for the game continues. Now, are you going to hit these marks again? No. But if you take half of that, right, to what the final was a year ago, it's still double what it was before Iowa was on the scene. If you can settle in 7-8 million going forward, you're feeling pretty good, I think, on the women's side.
I would say for the women, what they could hope for to jump off of this year onto is that the big heritage basketball schools continue to play well in advance next year. Because what we talk about for the men's team this year, when the upset teams advance, okay, it's not, you either pay early or pay late in the NCAA tournament. Because if you get a lot of upsets early, boy, that first week is great. But then you get to the second and third week and it's, oh man, these are teams nobody knows anybody.
Don't know anybody and there's a bunch of blowouts. Or you may tap in for about 8 minutes and then you check back in to make sure your bet cashed.
Yeah, or you don't get the upsets, which means kind of generic first week or so of the tournament, but you get the great games at the end. So you pay one way or another. But for women's basketball, I think it's going to be, hey, will the big heritage, big name teams continue to stay in it? Because you will still see big ratings next year if it's UConn, LSU, South Carolina, USC, UCLA, all the, you know, the big heritage schools that are there. If that's what it is, then you're going to see, hey, people are still going to watch because, oh, South Carolina's playing UConn. That's going to be a great game. Oh, my God, South Carolina, UConn. Oh, LSU. Oh, my goodness. Come on. So as long as those teams continue to play well in advance of the tournament, you will still see, not like this year because it's not the phenomenon of Caitlin Clark, but you will still see big growth and say, okay, next year the ratings are way better than they ever were outside of the outlier.
No, but that's just
Caitlin
it. Like
Clark
we had year. A number of years, I went and started looking back years before. It was a lot of high twos, mid threes, and that's kind of where you're at. And then you get the monster spike to last year's run and the Final Four, and then certainly this year's, you know, a phenomenon, and you caught lightning in a bottle, and everybody cashed in, and certainly it's great, and you'll try to go back to the table, and you will. But the reality, and I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope you find some way to really capture this, and it's really a wave that keeps going, that girls, boys, whoever gravitated to the game this year that normally didn't watch it, that the eyeballs stick, that it has that stickiness to it, that people tune back in, and that you can replicate this. I hope to hell that's the case.
You know what I really think Caitlin Clark's impact is going to be? You ready for this? Her impact is going to be this, and I'm going to take you back to soccer. The birth of soccer in the United States on the men's side was Landon Donovan's goal against Algeria in 2011, right? The game in extra, everybody remembers where they were, extra time that morning. It looks like we're going home. And then what have we seen in 10 years? Boy, the men's side has become pretty good. To be, we're a top 16 team in the world. We don't have a great coach, and I don't understand that. But but that was really the birth of, and now you see how big the MLS is and how big of a deal that is. Now MLS has become, you know, arguably the number four sport in the country now. Messi is here. You see the growth of that. And you can trace that back to Landon Donovan's goal in 2011. It took a while because it took a lot of the young players time to come up, the people who just started playing soccer because of it. Hey, this was great. I want to start playing. All right. Maybe in 10 years is when we see the women's pro go, whoa, look at all these unbelievable athletes now because they're all just taking up the game or they're suddenly hit this huge push. Now, there's always going to be great players in women, but are we going to see an unbelievable jump in about seven, eight, nine years because people who are starting to play now that will be playing because of Caitlin Clark, and then all of a sudden, hey, man, look where the women's game is in, you know, in the early 2030s. Like, that could be something that we're not even thinking about, that Caitlin Clark's true impact is going to be. She talked about, hey, you know, I like impacting the game and the future and the kids who want to play, and maybe more kids play basketball, and it's just something that they do, that they like doing. It doesn't mean you have to go to college to get a scholarship. It doesn't mean you have to play in the WNBA. Something you like, hey, that's great. But the push, because you know you're going to get more kids now who say, hey, I'm going to try this now. I really want to do it. And it's going to be something they're really good at. And they're going to want to try. And they're going to go play in college. They're going to be stars. And suddenly in the early 2030s, the women's tournament's going to be insane. So, I mean, that could wind up being what the big impact of Caitlin Clark is at some point.
Yeah, her all-around game was phenomenal, right? As a shooter, unparalleled, but also, you know, the passing, acumen, etc. Like, all of those skills, you know, that kids are going to gravitate to. We mentioned Steph and changing the game in the NBA, and for Caitlin Clark, goes back to the women's soccer team, Brandi Chastain, all of those things, where it takes some time. It takes the TikTok views and all of that of like, that's kind of cool. And then you get on board. I mean, hell, we're already seeing advertising campaigns in the WNBA before she's even selected.
Mm-hmm.
Buy your tickets now when the rookie comes in.
She's already said, yeah, I'm playing in 5 weeks. I'll be playing here in 5 weeks.
You know what
she's
I mean? Ready. But like, those are the posters that are going up, like those ads from the Clippers long ago. Come see Michael Jordan.
Just really quick. So do you think if you're Alabama, this week you hang a banner that says 2023-24 Crimson Tide Final Four, tied with UConn in the second half?
That's
like, do you
good.
Hang a banner that says that? Hey, we were tied in the second half.
Well, I mean, it's the 28 seconds of a lead. That's really the marvelous thing coming out of this tournament.
We were roll tied, TJ.
Exit out by DeFresca, exit Swollen Dome. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon coming up next. So now that you've got her back-to-back champs, what is next? And what's next is going to be a doozy. That's next right here. Jason,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He drinks the whiskey drink. He drinks the vodka drink.
And then a shot and a beer.
He drinks the lager drink. He drinks the cider drink. Like, I'd throw up if I did that.
No.
Whiskey,
you're having
vodka,
a hell of a night right there.
Lager and cider?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That is the order to probably do it in. Whiskey, vodka, lager, cider. Yeah, you want to go liquor before beer. You know, liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Beer before liquor, never sicker. Which I learned that the hard way. I learned that.
Did you top it off with some Goldschlager?
I had so many bad nights with Goldschlager.
Some Malort. Shout out to my friends back home in Chicago.
There's one night I spent on Goldschlager. It was if you remember the World Series, Phillies and the Blue Jays.
Oh, early 90s?
Yeah, early 90s.
Mitch Williams?
No, not game six. No, the game that was 15-14.
Okay.
Like, I went out to a bar to watch out with friends. I'm like, oh my, 15-14. And I, like, had no idea what was going on. Like, the next day I woke up and I was like, it was 15-14? I don't remember anything from that. Really? It was 15-14?
Is that where you got that face tattoo?
Oh, I'm like Post Malone in the commercial. Oh, man. Like, I'm going to forget 10 years of my life. So,
did McLovin buy your booze?
No. It was before McLovin. This is the 90s, man. The 90s. When anything went. Like, anything goes, it's the 90s. With UConn winning, the only question left is, how much money will Kentucky offer Danny Hurley for their head coaching job?
Okay.
We're going to hear from John Calipari tomorrow, most likely. He wouldn't talk today because he was walking his dog.
That was brilliant.
Not walking.
Yeah, well, you know, well, I kind of feel like that was a photo. It was a way for John Calipari to be seen where he didn't want to talk to people. I'm walking my dog.
But did he have a baby doll in that stroller?
No, that's a dog, Mike.
Or does the dog go into the stroller? Because if the dog goes into the stroller, I mean, just look, man, you're not being fair to the dog. You got to let go. You got to let go.
It seemed like more of a photo op more than anything else. Like, I want to be seen out here. Okay, I'm not talking, guys. I'm walking my dog.
Look at me.
With his announcement a day ago that he's leaving for Arkansas, Kentucky is different. You can't just say, we're going to go get a former player. We're going to go get an up-and-coming coach. You can't do that. So even the other blue bloods can do that. Duke can do that. North Carolina can do that. Kentucky, it's no. Who's coming in to win and win right now?
That's right. North Carolina raise up.
Kansas and Kentucky are the two schools that can't say, hey, we got a guy coming in we think is going to be good. These are ones that, no, we got to go get a proven winner that's getting us to the top of the mountain. And if I'm Kentucky, the four people at the top of the list is Danny Hurley. At the top of the list.
So he's the head of the table.
He's the head of the table, right? I don't know if I can get Jay Wright back out of retirement, and who knows what he's like with the NIL situation.
Well, maybe he's taking a year to assess it.
Could be. Or could be.
Because that's one of the working theories also is while he may have been disgruntled and unhappy that the world changed as it did, it also is I take a year off, I do some TV, I refresh, and we get our hands around how this, our arms around how this works.
But the other guy I go after would be Bill Self. He's the other guy. I know he can win. I know what it's about. You have to go get a proven winner. But the guy at the top is Danny Hurley, and I call and I say, what do you want? What do you want? Forget about $10 million a year, because, yeah, Calipari with $8.5 million, probably going to make a little bit more at Arkansas, but it's going to be a little bit more performance-oriented.
Yeah, Bill Self is at like 9.3.
I blow past $10 million. I say, how about $15 million to come to Kentucky? How about $20 million and we'll buy you out? What is the number? Because as great a program as UConn is, and they've proven what a great program they are, Kentucky is Kentucky. That's why Brad Pitt took the phone call from the Red Sox. He was going to get a new contract with the A's. It's the Red Sox. It's Kentucky. What is it going to be, Danny? What is it going to be? You want $20 million a year for the next 7 years? What's it going to be for you to come?
I can't help you now, Danny.
What's it going to be? Because clearly, Danny Hurley, modern basketball coach, can navigate the NIL era. You have no questions. Mm-hmm. Players love him. They want to come play for him. He's the Pied Piper. He's the guy. He's the only guy. Of all those people I like, they're all backups. He's the guy. What is it going to take? $15 million, $20 million? You tell us. You tell us what you want. No, and don't go crazy. You know, whatever you think, yeah, here's a check. What do you want? I'd go $20 million a year for him. Why not? You're Kentucky. You got it.
I think he goes full Queensryche and says, I'm building empire.
That's
great. You
got
two?
No, that's great. That's great.
You're making $5 million a year. I have no doubt you can go convince them to double plus. Plus some bonuses, some other accoutrements, and you've got a ton of recruiting on the East Coast. Why go to Kentucky?
Because it's Kentucky. You want $20 million a year, Danny? $20 million a year for the next 5 years, guaranteed? You want it all guaranteed? Even if we fire you want it all guaranteed? We got you.
But Kentucky's dead.
We got you. Look at you. You just killed off Kentucky.
Big blue
How did
nation.
You kill? Anthony Davis is going to come kick your ass. You just watched.
He can't see me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'm like Cena. He can't see me. He can't see me. His bad eye.
For Mike, I'm Jason. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.